Welcome to Real Christianity, a weekly show designed to help Christians know their Bible, defend their faith, and truly understand what it means to follow Jesus. The premise is simple. The culture is getting louder. The church is getting flashier, but few pastors are teaching on how to live a biblical life. My name is Dale Partridge, along with my incredible wife, Veronica. Join us as we start an important conversation about what it really means to be a Christian. Welcome to Real Christianity. Today we are talking about
a biblical view of baptism.
Biblical view of baptism. Important episode that many people have requested from us.
Yeah, a question that we often get is, does somebody need to be baptized in order to be Christian? Or what if they were baptized as an infant? Do they need to be baptized again? And how is baptism properly carried out? Is it sprinkling or is it submersion? Does it have to be done by a pastor or can it be done by any Christian? So we're going to answer a lot of these questions in this week's episode.
Yeah. So guys, if you're a new listener, welcome. If you're a regular listener, would you guys be so kind to leave a review? You just go to iTunes. You just tap the stars. You don't even need to write anything. But if you do write something, I will read it. And I've listened to some of the critical reviews and heard the thousands of great reviews. So thank you guys so much for that. I also want to remind you guys of two things. I'm going to do this for the next several shows. So sorry if you listen weekly here. Want to remind you guys about ultimatemarriage.com. This is one of our companion ministries to Relearn Church, and it's a six-week online biblical marriage course for your marriage, small group. And it's a huge support for our ministry. And so it's a product, but we're a nonprofit, so it really does support our ministry. So it's a great way to give in some capacity, right? You're actually getting something in return, so it's not necessarily a donation. But it's a great way to support our ministry. So if you guys want to do that or gift it as a wedding gift to somebody or premarital for somebody else, it's a really great gift. So again, that's ultimatemarriage.com. Other thing is my book is coming out real soon. And if you guys wanted to pre-order that, that's another great way to support our ministry. It's a short little book and it's really powerful, titled Real Christianity, How to Be Bold for Christ in a Culture of Darkness. You can get that at relearnchurch.org/RC for like Real Christianity. Get it? Okay. So yeah, over the years, I've heard and learned that baptism is kind of an odd reality in the church. It's there's lots of baptized non-Christians, and there's lots of non-baptized Christians in the church. And whether that's, again, from infant baptism, as Veronica said, or early baptism, or inauthentic baptism, that's another conversation. But an unbaptized church, or a church that doesn't place baptism in the same position that the Bible does, causes a really big problem. And I want to talk about that problem. So listen up to this statement because it's really important. I think that a church that doesn't really put a super biblical focus on baptism or as much focus as the Bible does causes this problem. We get churches to start accumulating believers who never actually pay the price of a public profession of their faith. And they never really have a chance to be held accountable to the identity that they've taken on in Christ. And that's a big deal to not do that. And what it really does, this kind of lack of baptism in the churches or this kind of delay to baptism, which we'll talk about, has kind of blurred the visual lines in the church of who's in Christ and who is not. Who can I hold accountable to the scriptures and who I can't hold accountable to the scriptures? And the Bible's not indifferent about the idea of baptism, as we're going to learn here in this episode.
Yeah, so Dale's going to take us through a few important questions. What is baptism and why do we do it? And this may seem like a basic question to many Christians, but a lot of Christians don't have a firm understanding on baptism. So we're going to go ahead and just start there. And then next, Dale's going to talk about If salvation and baptism are connected in any way, which is also another question many people ask us about. And then he's going to talk about, we're going to look into how the act of baptism mm-hmm. identifies us and unifies us with the church.
Yeah. So these are really important questions. And again, as Veronica said here, like, what is baptism and why do we do it? It's like, wow, are we really talking about that? It seems like a basic question. But I think that there's people in the church that have been here for 10, 15 years, haven't been baptized, or they have been baptized and they still don't have an answer for this. And so baptism, I think in its shortest definition, is really just a symbolic event representing the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what I would say, a theological answer. I think you've heard many people say it's an outward sign of an inward grace, or an outward sign of an inward confession, right? That's what kind of people, I guess, say in the church pretty often. But practically speaking, the scriptures show it as an act in which a person is declared to be a member of the body of Christ. That's really what's happening here, is it's a proclamation, a declaration publicly that you become a member of the body, or member of the church of Jesus Christ. And in its simplest terms, I should say, it's viewed really as an initiation to the church. That's how it's viewed in Scripture. And you're known at that point as a public, active, accountable, participating member of the church when you get baptized. That's how you are to be known. The word baptize is interesting. It's not a English word. It's actually a Greek word that we actually say the Greek word in English. We've adjusted it a little bit. It's like baptizo, I think, is the actual Greek. But it's a Greek word that actually does mean submerge. And the reason the original Greek, why we don't just say submerge, why we didn't translate that word to go submerge people or go immerse people, and we just kept it baptism, is because when they were translating the King James Version of the Bible in 1611, there was big debates and arguments going on of like what that actually meant. Was it sprinkling? Was it submersion? Like, how was it supposed to be done? So they just left the word in a, I think it's called a transliteration, where they don't actually change the word from the Greek to the English. And so that's why the word is there. And you know, historically in like Greek literature, if you look at like old farming literature from, biblical eras, you might see like a man baptized his goats in the river. And he's not talking to him, he's like spiritually baptizing them, but he like just physically baptizes them. Means that he dunked them in the river. I'll tell you what, he probably didn't take river water and sprinkle it on them. That's probably not what he meant. He probably kept a record that I'm cleaning my sheep or my goats in the river. And so I think we see this idea of immersion in Jesus's baptism. I think it's pretty evident and clear. Veronica's actually going to read the passage of scripture that talks about that.
Yeah, Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. It says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me?' But Jesus answered and said to him, 'Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" So if you know your Bible, you know that this is the initiation moment of Jesus's ministry. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful presentation of the Trinity. And the Father, God, is well pleased. The Spirit is coming upon him like a dove. And the Son is being baptized in the water.
Yeah, and he says he's coming up out of the water, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, again,
he came up immediately from the water.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's not a sprinkling here. That's not at least what the scriptures describe it to be. Mm-hmm. And again, I love that, just the Trinity look at that. Just what a beautiful moment to just see all three in tandem right there in a physical presence.
Hey, Dale Partridge here. We hope this podcast has been a blessing to your walk with God. For those that don't know, Real Christianity is an audio ministry under our nonprofit, relearnchurch.org. I'm telling you this because we're a listener-supported podcast. It takes a small team, a serious amount of equipment, and several hours per week to keep this show going. I share this because Veronica and I want to grow the reach of this show so that it might help even more Christians mature in their understanding of God's Word. So if you're a regular listener to this podcast, would you consider supporting us in this ministry effort? We're not asking for much, maybe $10, $20, or $25 per month. I promise you that your support will help us continue to get God's truth out, to strengthen the body of Christ, and to further the gospel. If you feel led to make a donation, simply go to relearnchurch.org/donate. Again, that's relearnchurch.org/donate. Thank you so much for your consideration.
But in the New Testament, baptism is not just an example seen, it's also a command to observe. So it's more than just Jesus did it and we should do it too. It's actually a command also. And so we need to look at that as well. So Matthew 28:18-30 reads, this is a really important passage of scripture. We should all have it memorized. It's called the Great Commission. This is the mission of the church here. And I'm going to just read it to you again. It's 28:18-30. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded to you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." So if this was the only place in Scripture that commanded baptism, it would be enough. So just know that. Like the fact that Jesus is giving a commission to the church to baptize folks that are being discipled, you know, go disciple and then baptize them. And I would say that's, you know, sharing the gospel, baptizing them is what you would see in the book of Acts, which we'll talk about. It would be sufficient. All four gospels talk about baptism. Acts, the book of Acts, 3,000 people at Pentecost received the gospel. 3,000 people are baptized. And so you see that pattern in the book of Acts. 1 Corinthians mentions it. Galatians, Ephesians mentions baptism. Colossians, Hebrews, and 1 Peter all mention or directly command the idea of baptism. And so it's really, I would say, theologically impossible to ignore the command to baptize. And also, we have lots to learn from just how it was done in the biblical account.
All right. So moving on to the next question.
Yep.
Lots of people send us messages online asking if baptism is connected to your salvation. So in other words, do you need to be baptized in order to be saved? What does the Bible tell us about this?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think a lot of people, I know it's so crazy that people ask this question because we're just not taught.
It's actually a pretty common question.
It is a common question.
We get it a lot.
I'm going to read you, I would say, this one of the central passages of the New Testament that talk about salvation. There's many. This is just one of them. It's Romans 10:9-10. Paul writes, "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Verse 10, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So there's really this two-part element. It's confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart that Jesus, believing in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. And it's not just confession, it's also confessing that he's Lord of your life. So there's a lot of depth there. However, there's no mention of baptism in there. That's for sure. So if you read 1 Corinthians, I'm going to give you another example why baptism is not necessarily connected to salvation. 1 Corinthians 14, or chapter 1:14-17, Paul tells us, and I quote, "I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I had baptized in my own name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel." So if baptism saved, Paul would have been baptizing every single person that he shared the gospel with. And Paul doesn't do that. Paul actually says the opposite. Like, Jesus didn't send me to go baptize. This is part of the work of the church. It's not necessarily the part of the apostle to do, and it is not directly connected to salvation. Baptism does not save you. It does not make you more holy or make you more secure in your faith. It does not do those things. The thief on the cross is I'd say, it's one example. It's probably the most common example that, hey, Jesus promises this thief on the cross next to him paradise, and he didn't get baptized. And so, again, that's just one example. But this does not reduce the critical responsibility of baptism, though. So just because it's not connected to your salvation doesn't mean that we don't have to observe this command.
Yeah, okay. So then why is baptism so important? Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people need help here. Because if we don't need it for salvation, then what's the point? This is probably why so many people in the church today haven't been baptized. So can you share about the spiritual proclamation of baptism?
Yeah, it's like we live in a culture that's like, if I don't have to do it, I'm not going to do it. I don't have time to do it. Like yeah. That's, mm-hmm. we're minimalist. Like just give me whatever the necessities are.
Very basics.
And as I said earlier, you know, baptism is a form of public confession regarding a spiritual conviction. That's really what it is. And scripturally speaking, baptism is an immediate public response and testimony to the saving work of Jesus Christ in your life. It's an immediate public response. If we're looking at scripture, it's not one of these things that some people did like months later or even weeks later. It's like you accepted the gospel and like, bam, let's go dunk this person. You know, like that's what happened scripturally speaking. It doesn't mean that it has to happen like that all the way. That is the description of what happened. It's not the prescription of what to do. But it is what happened. And it's something that people did just as a reaction to the reception of conversion. And if they weren't willing to do that, I'd actually imagine that people would be less confident that there was true repentance and actually acceptance of Jesus Christ as their Lord if they were hesitant for baptism. And if you were authentically converted, then I don't think you had any problem getting baptized. Even in a hostile and persecuted culture where your baptism might even cost you your life, people were willing to confess Jesus Christ openly and publicly, which is a big deal when we're talking about baptism.
Yeah, Jesus makes a public confession a major responsibility in Scripture. So let's go ahead and take a look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 through 33, where he says, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven."
Yeah, so public confession, that's a scary scripture, by the way.
Yeah,
You know, guys, like we're talking about baptism in a developed world. I mean, most of us are like, oh, I got to go get baptized in that hot tub. You know, it's not a hard thing to do, especially, you know, in most parts of the world. It's something that we should do. So this idea of public proclamation and really identifying yourself with Christ publicly, you know, we might be more comfortable, I should say, with baptism, baptism free Christianity where you just don't need to do it, or baptism as like a private matter where you kind of just, you don't really want anybody to see it. You're just kind of afraid to get in front of people to like let everybody know that you're baptized. But it's not intended to be private. It's actually a public act. It's your act of identifying with the Lord before others so they can hold you accountable. It's kind of like a wedding. You know, the purpose of a wedding is that everybody knows you're married, so that they can hold you accountable to what it means to be married. And if you're embarrassed to be baptized, you got to ask yourself why. Like, what's really causing you to be embarrassed about being baptized? I have a friend, I'm not going to say his name, but he is a church planter in some of the craziest places in the world, Afghanistan and Iraq and South America. And he shared some stories with me about people in these persecuted countries that just want to be baptized. So they accept the Lord, and they will do just about anything to be baptized. There's one village that's in Afghanistan, and they would dig down on this creek that had just a little bit of water, like a tiny little stream. And it would take maybe an hour and a half to fill up enough that it would maybe be about 6 inches deep. And you'd have to dig around and build a small little dam and get it all built up. And they would just barely get themselves underwater and baptize people. Another group that would take the twin beds out of their mattress frames and staple gun rubber around the inside of the mattress frames and fill it up with water and make a baptismal inside of a house that no one could see. There was one story that at the very top of a mountain in Iraq that they had no water. All they had was a well up there, and they didn't have much water to drink, and they couldn't use the water for baptism in that capacity. So they got a bunch of towels and they soaked up water, and they laid people down and covered them with wet towels. And I'm not necessarily saying that's the right thing to do. I'm just saying that that is the heart behind that, to go, man, I just want to get baptized. I just want to identify with Christ. So different from our hot tub baptisms that we're like, oh, maybe I'll do it when I have time here in America. And so lastly, guys, baptism is a form of unity. It's a really important form of unity. Ephesians 4:4-6 says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And so I guess just to wrap up what we're saying here is, I'll give you just kind of a 4-point structure of what we talked about today. We are to follow our Lord and his example of baptism. So he got baptized, we should do what he did. Number two, we are to follow our Lord and his command in baptism, which he gives to us in the Great Commission. Number three, we are to show our confession of our faith in baptism. We are to be willing to identify with him publicly and confess him before men. And then fourth, we are to show our unity with his church in baptism, because there's one baptism and one Lord above all, who is through all and in us all. And so it's an important basic understanding of baptism. Short episode today. I know Veronica is going to close us out with a cool baptism confession.
Yeah, so it was written in the 1700s, so I'd like to go ahead and share that with you.
Yeah, this is just like a cool confession of, so I don't know if you know, back throughout church history, they had what's called like baptism confessions, and you'd like sign a document that said something, or you'd write your own document. And this is from one of those. And I thought, what a passionate thing to write, that we would just probably not do in a modern era.
All right. Here it says, I hereby confess in my willing submission to this divinely appointed ordinance, my glad obedience to the command of my Lord and Savior. In this manner, I show forth my identification with the one who bore my sins, took my place, died in my stead, was buried, and rose again for my justification. As Christ went through the dreadful reality of suffering and death to secure my salvation, so my immersion in water and emergence therefrom, I publicly declare my identification with my Lord in his death, burial, and resurrection on my behalf, with the intention from here on to walk with him in newness of new life.
Signed on this date by your name, blankety blank blank, right? So this is, it's a cool thing that you just go, wow, we've lost so much richness.
Declaration.
Yeah. In our church today, I love the beauty of just, you know, just really understanding what you're doing in baptism today. So on that note, last thing I want to remind you guys, if you guys appreciated this show, a review would really be helpful. The reviews actually really do help the exposure of the show. The podcast is continuing to grow. More and more people, I think, are looking for biblical truth. And that's our goal here, is to help you guys understand the Bible so that you can apply its principles to your life and have a biblical, real Christian relationship with God. On that note, we will see you guys next Wednesday for the next episode of Real Christianity.
See ya.
Take care.
Hey, Dale Partridge here. I think Christians underestimate the influence the culture can have on us. I think without even noticing, many of us have traded this incredible life that God wants for us for an empty counterfeit. If you haven't realized, the church has become comfortable with things we shouldn't be comfortable with. We've normalized things in our work, our marriages, our families, and our finances that are not normal. But the question I have for you is this: what does the Bible say about what's normal? What kind of life should Christians be chasing? What if I told you that what's popular isn't superior? What if I told you that what seems smart isn't actually right? What if I told you that the world's view of success is actually God's definition of failure? The Bible says that the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. So what if we're doing it wrong? What if the lives of those who follow Jesus look more like the culture than like Christ? What if the life we're so desperate to have isn't something to seek after, but actually to be saved from? I answer these questions in my latest book.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Real Christianity.
How God can free
Real Christianity is an audio ministry of relearnchurch.org.
Work and
if you'd like more information on how to live out a biblical life,
relearnchurch.org
hosts a variety of articles,
hardback podcasts,
sermons,
and videos to support your journey.
Real Christianity is 100% listener-supported ministry.
And if you'd like to support our efforts, simply click the donate tab at relearnchurch.org.
You can also connect with both Veronica and I on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter for daily lessons and Bible teachings. Thank you for being with us today. We hope to see you next Wednesday for another episode of Real Christianity.